Today in the Visionary Chronicles, we're going to talk about success. I know we've talked about failure and the key factors of why businesses fail. Let's look at the other side of this. And what are the factors that make businesses successful? The model, is it the people, is it the marketing, is it the product? Literally, it's all of these. And you have to have all of these in place in order for you to succeed long term. And you've seen from the previous statistics, it's pretty compelling when you look at businesses and how many actually fail in the marketplace versus those that succeed. And trying to get a little deeper into what is the factors that allow these businesses to succeed. So in this episode, I call it success, key factors to succeeding in business. So the knowledge I built off of this is not only on looking at companies, been inside of companies, but also actually educating myself on companies and major global brands that have been around for generations. So really trying to define where do these success principles and factors come from and which ones are the point of difference that have allowed them to succeed. And this kind of came off another one, which is off of roles and how do you succeed in roles. And I wanted to expand upon this principle, this what I call triangle principle of TLC. And when I was giving speeches, presentations to different companies, and as well as students and universities, there was one, this TLC, that kept coming up. And I said, well, what does that mean? And I said, well, it's timing, luck, and connections. That's how you succeed in roles. And it's really that principle of, hey, you got great timing. You just happen to have some great connections. And oh, by the way, a little luck thrown in there as well for you to succeed in your role. And that goes on top of obviously the education and your ability to be successful inside of that role. So what I wanted to do is take that principle, this kind of triangle principle, and expand upon it and come and pull together these key factors to succeeding in business. So here we go. The first one, really, when you look at what makes businesses successful, the first is the actual idea itself of a great product. And a lot of people will look at it and say, well, the product itself was what made the brand or company successful. Yeah, that's true, but there's a lot of components that go behind that. The first thing is the idea itself, which the components behind the idea are, how is it going to provide value to the marketplace and have a defined point of difference over your competition? And kind of the best way to look at that, and there's been this principle that's thrown out quite a bit, which is this blue ocean principle, this blue ocean, blue water idea. And really, to kind of refresh you on that, it's finding where there isn't competition, this wide open ocean where there aren't shark-infested waters where people are fighting over the same product category. Really finding the idea that is disruptive, but also at the same time commercialized. So there may be this great breakaway idea you have, which is substantially different than the competition in the particular category that you want to move into. But if it is neither practical or has the ability to define a point of difference and provide value and drive revenue, it's a bad idea. So what you want to make sure of first and foremost is really define your idea and make sure that you have a broad swath of people that you've told your idea to that will also give you an independent analysis of they think it's a great idea or if they feel that, hey, there's a lot of blue water opportunity for you on this. So there's these incremental ideas which are just incrementally improving on things that are already out there, or these great disruptive ideas of things that are true breakaways that are reinventing a category which are much harder to come by. But at the end of the day, they're all driven off of what I call the idea, which is number one in success factors of companies that have been able to grow generationally and be successful and actually build and or grow or build a brand new category. So that's number one. So number two is the actual team. And a lot of times what you need to make sure of when you're looking at what makes a successful company or brand, and it's number one, the culture itself and having people who fit within your culture and personality type. This by design allows a team to gel, work together extremely well. And many times it's the downfall of a company. You may have a great product, but if the team can't collectively integrate with one another to ensure that they've commercialized the product, they've properly marketed, they found a point of difference, and they're selling into a category where they know they can be successful, but somewhere along that functional chain, it's broken. And so what you really want to make sure of is that complementary culture, complementary skill sets. And then the third piece is really self-management, really making sure that if you are a startup or a fast-growing company, you can't always babysit. And so you want to make sure that you have managers that can self-manage and they're proactive in their solving. And so when you want to build a team, these complementary skill sets, the ability to self-manage, the ability to be proactive, seeing an issue and providing a solution before somebody asks. That proactive management is really a mainstay of what I've seen with successful companies. And they built this charismatic culture that a lot of people gravitate to. So the team is number two. And the last thing I'll say with the team is having humble personalities is also a very important ingredient for ensuring that you have longevity with your team. There's nothing worse than an individual inside of a company managing others that is not humble and or taking credit for themselves all the time when clearly it was someone else who came up with the idea. So you want to make sure that the culture, complementary skill sets, the ability for this team to self-manage, proactively solve problems, and then also be humble and give credit to others where credit is due. This will pay dues in the long run and will allow the company to grow exponentially. And many times what I found inside of these successful companies is the complement is sometimes better than the compensation. Now, everybody likes to get paid. I'm not saying that, but certainly you understand what I'm saying when people, when they do a great job, want a compliment. And a lot of times that's as good as a raise for people in building their self-esteem. So the team is number two. A lot of components to a great team and these successful brands and companies. Number three is the product itself. And you notice it's different than the idea. The idea is ideation. Is this a good idea before it's turned into a product? What happens is many times with unsuccessful companies is they fail to gel that idea in their head and understand what they're actually going after in the marketplace. So they will go directly to number three, which is the product, without really thinking through how they're going to build this product and make it successful in the marketplace. So once you get to the product, you've got a great idea with a great team who has a passion around the idea, the brand, and the opportunity. The third then is actually commercializing the product itself. You've got a defined point of difference. It's easily translated to your community or your target demographic. And so each of these is an important aspect to the product itself. And it's also something when you look at your product where you've got an incremental life cycle. What I mean by that is that it's a, let's say it is a breakaway technology or something where you are improving upon something that's already in the marketplace. It's even better if you have the ability on the adoption curve to have a life cycle where you can have product extensions. So that extends the life of a great product, and it's one that when you're thinking about your product, you want to make sure that you have that in your life cycle planning, because there are many, many one-hit wonders in the marketplace, and I don't have to mention all of them, but this goes back to, hey, I've got a great product, but what are you going to do with that product once it's run its course along the adoption curve It's too late when if you have a product that's in late majority because it's already being knocked off, it now becomes a commodity and it's available everywhere if it is successful. So what I'm getting at is that if you've got a successful product, somebody's going to knock you off. And by the time that you have put a new product into the marketplace and commercialize it, it's too late. Unless you have a plan during the ideation phase of what is this product satisfying, what's the value, and how are we going to make sure that we have another either extension or incremental innovation that we can put back on the front end of the adoption curve so innovators can then purchase that product and run through the early adopter phase and then have the previous generation sit back in the late majority. So this product, it goes beyond commercializing the product. You want to make sure in that ideation phase that you're defining your point of difference, ensuring that it's easily translated, but also planning that life cycle process of what you're going to do once you start hitting the back end of that adoption curve. So if you're going to build leadership within the category itself, you want to make sure that you have a plan for not only the product, but then incremental updates, continued innovation, and or breakaways that complement the product in the category that you're moving into. So that's number three, is the product. And it takes a lot of planning to ensure that you have a plan in place that successfully can take you for generations. And that's an art and a science combined. And very few companies are doing it successfully. But those that are enjoying the success of those products in the pipeline and have built generations of innovations year over year and are strategically putting those in the pipeline to ensure that they have that adoption curve covered both in the beginning and in the back end. And then number four is the actual sale and planning for the sale of the product. And what channel are you moving into? What is the defined point of difference and how are you going to communicate that to your community? In this case, a lot of things are converting to digital. So you want to make sure on your e-com business that that's where your complete brand product platform is communicated to the channels that you're trying to sell to. So the sale is done through connections on the retail distribution side. And I go back to the TLC side, luck, timing, and connections. And a lot of times that's what it is on the sales side. Are you hitting the market at the right place, timing? Do you have the right connections, number two? And number three on the triad is luck. A lot of times these brands, not by design or fault, they just hit it right with the marketplace that they're looking to sell to. A lot of times, not because they have a better product, it's an inferior product, it's just something that they're doing either on the marketing side, the community engagement side, the digital marketing side, whatever it may be, it just so happens to be a product that takes off. So the sale is the fourth piece, is that you've already defined your blue water idea opportunity, you've got the right team, and now you've commercialized the product and have a strategy in place. So the sale should be something that's the end result of those top three. So having a sustainable business, driving revenue for generations, is the sale part of the business. And then the fifth part of it is, which many unsuccessful companies don't think out properly, is they've got a great idea and a product that's defined in the marketplace and the team that can go out there and drive the revenue and position the product properly, but they have no plan for fulfillment. And fulfillment isn't one product. It's a scale opportunity that you have that you need to make sure that you've defined properly. Risk, recognition, and reduction. And I call it, it's this inventory balancing act and inventory management and logistics execution that has to be second to none, especially in the environment we're in now. People are impatient, their attention span has gone away. So as soon as you make that sale, effectively, they're going to want the product in their hands. So this is now done through e-com. So you've got this direct-to-consumer business, and you want to make sure that when you make the sale, that you have the ability to properly fulfill it. And I say fulfilling of the promise, the fulfilling of this great let's say, life experience or story that you've told about your product or your brand, don't make it fall on deaf ears on the fulfillment side. There's nothing worse than a dissatisfied customer that had an expectation of an experience that didn't work. So understanding that fulfillment is a risk-reward scenario. Risk on the inventory side, reward on the community engagement and fulfillment side. And growth of your brand through the community because of the experience of having fulfilled the promise that you gave to them on the product. So fulfillment really is, what does your logistics and operations chain look like? And every successful brand has the operations and logistics execution dialed into a T. So make sure that although you may have a great marketing team, great product, blue water, blue ocean idea, that fulfillment is a key, an integral piece to you being successful long-term. And every great brand that I've seen and been a part of and work with have had these execution pieces in place. And then the sixth is the luck, what I call the right time, right place. A lot of times what happens with products and with brands is they had gone out and for whatever reason, they just hit it. And they were there at the right place at the right time. And many unsuccessful brands, not because they didn't have these execution pieces in place, it was just wrong place, wrong time. So I say the luck. And owners and businesses and companies and brands that don't think that's part of the equation are crazy. This is absolutely part of what has made many successful brands, is just the luck. Hey, they were there at the right time, right place, and executed properly, and they grew that foundation into a long generational successful brand. So luck is a piece of the equation, and I say that's number six. Number seven is, which not a lot of people think of either, and I had mentioned this previously, another successful piece is with brand was the pivot. And what I mean by the pivot is that when you get into companies, and almost every successful brand has had to pivot in one way or the other, and it's redefining and refining your opportunity, not your foundational principles. So it may be a case where you have to tweak the channel, tweak the product features and benefits. It could be product, it could be the channel, it could be the marketing, but what you're doing is you're pivoting off of your original plan for the company, brand, or product. So almost every successful brand, and here's an interesting statistic, has pivoted at least once, but no more than twice. It is a statistical fact that every brand that has pivoted more than two or three times has been unsuccessful because they lose sight of what the opportunity is, what their defined point of difference was, and where they're going. So remember, when you're communicating with your team as to what your point of difference is, you have to internally build that passion before it gets the passion and engagement from your community externally. So pivoting is part of the process, even with successful brands who have maybe, let's say, an incremental product or a new product they're putting in the marketplace, the pivot is an integral part of what makes them successful. And the last piece is the experience, which is probably the most important part of a successful company or brand. And with the environment that we're in, previously, with retail experience, you were incumbent on the retailer to build that experience in store. So a lot of times that didn't come across properly with brands and it was a frustration. But now with e-commerce, there's no excuse for not having a great experience. You've got now omnichannel integration and the vertical ability to fulfill your promise to your community. So the experience has to be second to none. And this is where that marketing team comes in, the marketing strategy, the execution, the positioning, and lifestyle engagement, what I call this funnel process of making sure you have that loyalty curve in place. So previously, when you looked at how you were acquiring your customer, you were evaluating those customers pre-purchase and then post-purchase you would actually let them go and move on to the next customer. We called that the purchase funnel. So you'd literally spit them out through the back end. But now there's a new adoption curve called this loyalty curve. And so when you actually engage with the consumer on the front end the same way, you provide the knowledge of your defined point of difference in the marketplace, you market around that lifestyle strategy, and you fulfill the experience. And then that's when you start engaging. So that's what was significantly different about what was previously done with customers versus what's being done now on the e-com side. Think of all the things that you've received post-purchase. Those brands that engage with you post-purchase make you feel like you're part of this lifestyle community of the brand are the ones that I'm sure you're loyal to. And so the eighth piece of successful brands and pulling this all together is actually fulfilling the lifestyle experience of what you're promising. So again, when you look at successful companies and the ingredients and what I call factors to successful companies, you have the idea number one. You build a great team, the team number two. And then you commercialize this idea through the product. And then once you've done that is you have the sale, moving on to the fulfillment of that promise. And then you just have luck. And sometimes luck doesn't work out and you pivot. So you've got the pivot and then the experience, fulfilling the lifestyle experience and promise that you've told your community they will have by purchasing your product. So all of this in conclusion is with digital e-com marketing, having these pieces in place are integral to any brand's long-term success. So ensure that you have these pieces of the puzzle in place, and this will allow you the best chance to be successful in your category, marketplace, brand, or company. Would like to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles today. I really appreciate your time, and hopefully you've enjoyed the subjects that we talk about each week here on the Visionary Chronicles. And we feel it's very important. We understand that there's professional needs and support you need with your companies and with your brands, but we also appreciate the fact that you've got some personal needs. As leaders of companies and brands, there are many things that you have to deal with, and we want to make sure that we're addressing those as well. If you like what you hear, we would really appreciate subscribing to The Visionary Chronicles. Are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and Podbean. So we would really appreciate if you'd subscribe and look forward to bringing additional episodes to you each week. So again, thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Look forward to the next podcast.